Okay, run. Okay, we're on the Mishnah on Chaf Chesim Beis. Next Mishnah in Perek Bava Malikim. The Mishnah says, we read this yesterday, let's read it again. Shilas HaBeket Shekip Lov Lo Hiv Hava Rebbe Eliezer Omer Tmeah Hi Ve'ein Malikim Ba Rebbe Kiva Omer Tahor Hi U'Malikim Ba. So there were two arguments in the Mishnah. If somebody has a psilas habeged, so let's say that means if somebody cuts a little piece of a beged, a little piece of an undershirt, and kipla is makapalit, rolls it up into something that can be used for a wick, the lo hifhava, but did not singe it. Singe it was what they used to do in order to make it usable in order to be a wick. Like in the old, like somebody mentioned to me after the shiur, and again, it's quoted in the earlier poskim. In the olden days, a candle used to be able to be lit better if you lit it first. That's why some of our grandparents or the previous generations used to light when the man, the Shulchan Aruch says, which Professor I'm going to get to in the future, the man is supposed to set up the candles, even though the woman is supposed to light the candles, halakas neiros, but the man's supposed to set up the candles. So the question is, once he sets up the candles, does he light them first also and then blow them out? As I remember, my grandfather also used to do that. He used to light the candles then blow them out. Bizman Azeh, we don't need to light them first. They light fine. They're made to be lit right away. So most of the time, the women don't want the candles to be lit before it, because they're like used. They don't want them. So Bizman Azeh, you don't have to do that. But in the olden days, it had to be huvhav beforehand. So let's say it was rolled up, velohiva, but it was not singed. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tumeahi, then that wick, before it is used, is makabel tuma, ve'ein malikinba, and you cannot use it to light with. Rabbi Akiva Omer Tahora Hi U'Madlikin Bar. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's Tahora, it is not Mekabel Tuma, and you're allowed to use it to light with. So what is exactly the machlokas behind these shitos? So the Gemara is going to have really three potential suggestions to explain the machlokas. The first one is going to say that the two machlokas in the Mishnah are linked. So it's going to be one explanation to explain both the Tumah aspect and the Hadlaka aspect, right? Because there are two arguments in the Mishnah. Whether it's Tameh or not, whether you're allowed to use it to light or not. That's two arguments. So approach number one in the Gemara is going to suggest something for both of those. The second and the third one really isn't second and third. It's like 2A and 2B, because the second one is going to relate to the Hadlaka aspect, and the third one is going to relate to the Tumah and Tahara aspect. Okay, so that's the structure of the Gemara coming up. So it says the Gemara, Bishlam le'inyan Tumah, I understand regarding Hilchus Tuma v'Tahara behapligi. I understand what the machlokas is. The Rebbe Eliezer sabar kipul eino moil. Rebbe Eliezer, who says Temeahi, he says rolling up a little beged doesn't do anything. It doesn't change the fact that this was a shirt. Let's say you have a piece of a cloth which serves a function, and then you roll it up, but you didn't singe it into a wick yet. You just rolled it up. That doesn't change anything. So therefore, it hasn't lost its status that it used to be a beged. So therefore, uba milse kamaisa kaima. So therefore, it is in its original state. And that's why it is mekabel tuma. That's shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Kiva sover, no. Kipo moil ubitule batil. Rabbi Kiva says, no, the second that you roll it up, that itself makes it mafkia its shame beged. It's no longer called a beged, and therefore, if it's no longer a kli, it's no longer a beged, it's not makabel tuma anymore. So that's why ubitule batil has been mevutal, it's been nullified as a beged. That's why it's tahora from now on. So that's the machlokas regarding the tuma and the tara aspects. But el le'inyan hadlaka b'may pligi. But what about le'inyan hadlaka regarding the lighting? What's the machlokas? Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to light with it. So does that connect to the tuma aspect? Rabbi Kiva says you're allowed to light with it. Does that connect to the fact that it's not makabel tuma? So what's that machlokas about? Whether you're allowed to light with it or not. So approach number one. Number one. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Oshia, v'cheid Amar Rabbi Adar Bar Ava. The following. There are four givens, and then we're going to get to what the machlokas is. We're talking about a case where you have a beged that is exactly 3x3 etzvos. Tiny little beged, 3x3 finger breaths. In other words, if the seconds, just a foreshadow for a second, the second that this beged is going to start to become burned, then it's no longer a beged. Right? Because it's the tiniest, it's the smallest shear of a beged. So that's given number one. Given number two, ubi yantif shachalios erev Shabbos askinan. We're talking about a case in the Mishnah where it's yantif on Friday. Yantif, we're not talking about regular Erev Shabbos lining. We're talking about a yantif that falls out on Friday. That's given number two. This is all background for the Mishnah, and then we're going to get to the machlokas. That's given number two. Given number three, dekulei alma islahu de Rabbi Yehuda d'amar masikin mekelev in masikin b'shivrei kelev. Everybody holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, which we're going to get to more in depth on the next Amud, Masikin Bekalim. On Yontif, you're allowed to use, Masikin is to use to heat. Let's say you have a kli that is flammable. You're allowed to throw that into the fire on Shabbos, on Yontif, and use that to cook with. You'll lose at the fire, right? You're allowed to make a fire on Yontif. You're allowed to be marbe a fire on Yontif. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to be masik, you're allowed to throw a kli into that fire. But ve'in masik and b'shivrei kelim. But what if you have something that broke on Yontif? And therefore, now you want to use that broken shard in your fire. That you're not allowed to do, because that's nolad. That's a form of buksa. It was created on Yontif. So says Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to move that on Yontif. So you're allowed to be masik b'kelim with the whole kli. You're allowed to throw it in because that has a use, but because it has one use, you're allowed to throw it in and use it for the fire also. But vein masik b'shivrei kelim, you're not allowed to use something or move something on yontif that's called nolad. That's a new type of kli. That is given number three in the Mishnah. Again, number one was, we're talking about a tiny little beket that's 3x3 etzbos. Number two, we're talking about a case of Yontif on Erev Shabbos. Number three, we're talking about a case that everybody agrees to Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to use Kalim and not Shivrei Kalim. And number four, everybody holds like Ula, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that when you light a candle on Shabbat or an Erev Shabbos, you have to hold the fire there. Let's say you have a very long wick coming out of our wax candles, or coming out of a very long wick, you have to hold your fire there to make sure that it catches. So that's a Chanukah. We have these long wicks, and you wait there until the wick gets a little shorter and shorter all the way until it goes back, and you're really sure it's going to catch, because sometimes if you light the end of the wick, it's going to go out until it gets to the near where the fuel is, the source, the wax or the oil. So it says Ula, you have to keep your hand there until it's Malik Rova. I mean, you can't put your hand there for a second and then take your hand away. You have to keep your hand by the wick for a couple of seconds. Those are all givens in our Mishnah. So what's the machlokas? So now let's get to what the machlokas is. So Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Rabbi Eliezer holds, as was said before, Kipel Eino Moel. So I have this beget, I rolled it up, I didn't singe it yet. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, I haven't done anything yet. Kipel Eino Moel. Just rolling it hasn't changed the fact that it's a beged. So it's still a beged. So that's why it's still Makabel Tumah right now, because it's still called a beged. But V'kiva Da'alik Be'purta, the second that it starts to be lit, and the first second that it starts getting burned, all of a sudden, it's not 3x3 anymore. Because that's the first second. It's exactly 3x3. So it's not 3x3 anymore. Once you light it, a drop. Havile Shever Kli. So all of a sudden, it turns into a Shever Kli. It turns into a broken shard. It's Nolad now. Because now it's no longer Gimel on Gimel. And as you're lighting it, because we just said, what did we say according to Ula? We're talking about, you can't move your hand away right away. So as you're lighting it, and using it, and moving it, you're using a Shever Kli. But we're not allowed to use a Shever Kli on Yontif. So that's why, that's the Bashita of Rabbi Eliezer. Again, with all the four givens as background, now we understand his Shita. It's Yontif on Erev Shabbos. You have to keep your hand there for a few seconds. The second that is less than 3x3 is a Shever Kli. And we have like Rabbi Yehuda of Eimasik and B'Shivrei Kelim. That is all the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So both Machloksim hinge on each other. The second it catches fire, though, it might still be called a kli if it was bigger than Gimel al Gimel. If it was hay by hay, then by the time you take your hand away, it's still called a kli. And masikin b'kalim. We paskin, you're allowed to heat with kalim. You just can't heat b'shivrei kalim.
But even if it takes its size, it's still a shiver.
It might, if it still has its usage, and maybe if it still has its original usage, it still might not be called a shiver kli. It might be called a real kli until it gets to less than 3x3. That is all Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva Savar, Kipel Moel. No, Rabbi Akiva says, no, the second that you roll it up, so then all of a sudden it's no longer a beged. It's already lost its shame beged. V'yein Torah's Kli Olav, right? And therefore, it's not Makabel Tumah. That's what it says, Tahorahi. What about the lighting, Machlokes? So it says Rabbi Akiva, V'chika Malik, V'yis Ba'amakam Malik. Already when you start, you don't have a beged there. So it's not called a Shever Kli. What's a Shever Kli? If something breaks on Yontif, that's when you have Nolad. If you broke something before Yontif, that's not Nolad. Right, it's already broken before Yontif. Nolad means something was created on Yontif. Right, there's a question in Maseches Eruvin: Is snow on Nolad? Right, was it in the clouds before Yontif? Whole discussion. But here it was already Eitz. It was already a non-Kli before Yontif. So therefore, that's why you're allowed to. It's not Makabel Tumah. It's Tahora. That's why you're allowed to use it to light, because it's not called the Shever Kli. That is approach number one: how to explain the Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. But you see, both of these, the Havaka and the Tumah Machlokas, are really connected, according to approach number one.
According to Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't have to be Mitzvah.
according to Rabbi Akiva, it does not have to be mitzumtzum. Right, but you have to say we're talking about the same exact case. Right, but yeah. No, because you could unroll it. I mean, it's not a shemir kli yet. It's not you didn't do something that's you could go back. You didn't do anything yet. That's his shita. According to Rabbi Akiva and Achinami, right? When you roll it, you make it into a shemir kli. But that's what you did before Yantif.
Why
did it have to be Yantif Chalilis Be'erev Shabbos? Because if it's weekday, then what's...
What if not just the Yantif itself?
If it's Yantif itself, if it's just Stam Yantif. So you ask me, why can't it be just Stam Yantif? If you roll it up... I'm sorry? Do you Kimta the Mishnah on Shabbos? But, I mean, we're talking about... Because we're talking about Ba'amalikin, that's why. I mean, the Mishnah earlier had Ein Malikin B'Shem Esreifa B'Yantif. And that's separate halachas of Yantif, but it could just be that, right? That's my right. But we're talking about the context of Shabbos. All the Mishnah B'Shayas are about Shabbos, even though we had that one line about Yantif.
But there's a lot of anything special about
right. I don't think the halacha would be specifically related to Shabbos, right? Because the Svaris would apply to the Yantif. It's a good point.
People happen before
well, it depends. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the kippel happened before. The question is, did the kippel do anything? According to Rabbi Eliezer, the kippel didn't do anything. So it doesn't matter that you did it before Yantif. It's going to break now. But according to Rabbi Akiva, the kippel happened before Yantif, and therefore kippel mo. Okay, continue. Amr of Yosef, five lines from the bottom. Hainu, detanina, gimel mitzub, samus, fol yadana lamai hilchasa. I had a misara from my Rebbe that some Mishnah out there was about a tiny beged that was gimel al gimel. Now I know it was this Mishnah. So now I understand. Now I'm happy. Fine. Umi de commentaries. Now we're going to go off on a little side tangent before we get back to answer number approach number two, which is on the third line, next page. Umi de commentaries. Rav Ada bar Ava Ali ben Rabbi Yehuda. And since Rav Ada bar Ava explained the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda was the one that said Masikin bekalim, be'im Masikin b'shivrei kalim. Right? That was Rabbi Yehuda. You're allowed to use a whole kli, but you can't use something that was a shever kli nolan. Shema minok Rabbi Yehuda svirle. Does that tell me that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda because he's explaining the Mishnah according to him? But Umi Amar Rav Ada Barava Hachi, does Rav Ada Barava really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Vamer Rav Ada Barava Nachri Shechaka Kabe Bakas Yisrael Masika Biyantif. If a non-Jew is chokek, carves out, we had this similar case a couple of weeks ago, carves out in a log, Bibikas Yisrael carves out a log on Yantif, so then a Jew is allowed to use that to cook on Yantif, to put it in his fire. But Vamaynolanu, we just said that Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Masikin B'Shivrei Kalim, right? Now that you use something that was broken on Yantif, then Nolan. So if the guy is doing this on Yantif, it's Nolan. Nolan doesn't mean you have to do it. If anybody creates something on Yantif, so how can you do this? And this is what Rav Ada bar Ava says. And we just said he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So how could it be? So like, my answer is, you're right. L'divrei Abdur, B'lantav Rabbi Akiva Kamarlei, V'leilo Svirlei. He really doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. He's just explaining the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda. He's saying your blessed Rabbi Kiva are within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. They both assume Ein Masikin B'Shivrei Kalim. But it could very well be that he himself does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like the other opinion that would say that Masikin B'Shivrei Kalim. As we mentioned once in the past, but we're going to discuss it again also, there are many, many different levels of muksa, different types of muksa. And not everybody holds of every type of muksa. Some hold that Rabbi Yehuda is the one, the Gemara sometimes says, Rabbi Yehuda islay muksa, Rabbi Shimon leslay muksa. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the muksa. Doesn't mean he doesn't hold the muksa ever. He holds certain types of muksas Rabbi Yehuda holds of, Rabbi Shimon doesn't. In general, Rabbi Yehuda holds of more muksas than Rabbi Shimon. That's why the Gemara sometimes says, Rabbi Yehuda islay muksa, Rabbi Shimon leslay muksa. So here, where Rabbi Yehuda says, Inam asikin b'shivrei kalim, this might be one of those examples. But Rabbi Barava himself does not hold of it. That is all number one. Now we get to number two. Third line. Rava Amar, Haidu Taibid Rabbi Eliezer. This is the reason for Rabbi Eliezer. You just see Rashi on the fourth line of Rashi. Taibid Rabbi Eliezer, Bahadzlaka. The following is only going to explain the Hadlaka Machlokas in the Mishnah, not the Tumma Machlokas. So it's going to be the Hadlaka Machlokas. And if you go eight lines from the bottom of the Amud, we're going to have Rav Hamnuna Amar. That's going to be 2b. That's going to be explaining the Tumma aspect of the Machlokas and not the Hadlaka aspect of the Machlokas. Okay, but first let's do this. Rava Amar. Tainu time of Rabbi Eliezer, the fish ain't malikin bepsila, she ain't a machurachas, the low mismartuta, she ain't a machurachin. Says Rabba, reason, as we alluded to before, Rabbi Eliezer says you can't use this because it doesn't light well. Until it's singed, it doesn't light well, and therefore this relates to all the other kinds of wicks and oils that we had earlier in the perek. And that's why you can't do it, because it's might go out and shemayata, right? It's not going to light well. And that is the reason for the machlokes in the Mishnah. The second half of Tosfos on top, and Rava says, Venira Lee's first skinny line, the Bachinam Nahagu Anashim Lahabla Kapsilo Lachabosa. He says, for nothing, the men light the wicks and put them out. Kadesha Hitemuv Heves. Because, number one, we don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer. But others are trying to point out that we don't need it anymore, Bismanazet. So nowadays, you don't have to light it beforehand if it's going to light anyway. But at least in those days, it did not light well. If it was not singed earlier. So that is the reason for Rava's reason for Rabbi Eliezer.
The reason the men do that is because
the men get a chiluk of the mitzvah of Halakas Neiros if they set it up. They're supposed to set up the candles. But this is an extension, but again, why? What do you mean you're not yotzi the mitzvah, why are you lighting it? What kind of help? You get a chiluk of the mitzvah when you're doing something to help, but how is that helping Bizman Hazeh? Lighting the candles do nothing for you. It's probably even worse. The women don't like it when you light it first. Sometimes. Other times they do. But nowadays, they like to have it fresh. So our setting up the candles is a chalik. That's what we should do. Okay, so says the Gemara. Let's just get to the two dots. Elohadu tani Rav Yosef, give all the lobes of Sabbath Slavai Hilchasa. But one second, we just said on the bottom of the previous Amud, Rav Yosef was so excited. Now I know what the Mishnah, which Mishnah was the Gimel al Gimel Mishnah. But now we lost it. Now we're saying the Mishnah is not Tafka talk about a case of Gimel al Gimel. So therefore, what halacha did he have that Mesorah about? So the Gemara says, Lenya Tumma, it's a separate machlokas regarding a Mishnah in Kalim, regarding Tumma. Tetzan, the Mishnah says in Kalim, Gimel al Gimel Sha'amr, Chusman Amalal, Divir Abshimin, the Chum Omim Gimel al Gimel Mechuvanos. Rashi explains the Mishnah that they used to use patches of cloth in order to patch up a beged ani. And the question is, when you patched it on, did it have to be 3x3 pockets? So that means, because you have to stitch some of the patch onto the pants. So the question is, does there have to be 3x3 besides what you stitch? Or does it have to be 3x3 altogether? So by the time you stitch it, it'll be even less than 3x3. So that's the machlokas. Reb Shimon says, chutz min amalau, except for the hem, except for the part that's stitched in. And the Chum say, no, exactly 3x3. That's what he had the Mesorah of 3x3 mechuvanos about. But not to do with our Mishnah. Yeah, Stewie. Nothing. Okay, so I'll review Yehuda. So now we're going to continue to discuss an issue of Kalim and Shirvei Kalim. Again, this is a very important halacha lemaisa in terms of no-lot issues and the like. So I'll review the Marav. Masikin b'Kalim, ein masikin b'Shirvei Kalim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Mater. We have three machloksim. Number one is Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to use kalim and you can't be masik, you can't heat with shivrei kalim, with broken shards. Rabbi Shimon Mater, Rabbi Shimon says no. Right, again, as we said, Rav Shimon holds of less muxas. Number two, masikin bitmarim, you're allowed to use for fuel dates. Let's say dates help light a fire. Achlon, but once you ate the dates and you're left with the seeds, the pits inside. So, ein masikin begari nehen, div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, number two, once you use the date, then the seeds turn into muxa, into some type of nolad. Right, they weren't there before. "Quote unquote," weren't there like that. So therefore, you're not allowed to use those either. Did Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon again, Matir's using those seeds. Number three, masikin bag goes in. Aval ein masikin beklipos sehen. Did Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to use nuts. You're allowed to heat with nuts, but if you just took off the shells, so now the shells are nolad, and therefore you can't just use the shells. Did Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Matir, again, Rabbi Shimon is Matir. So as the Gemara does many times, why do you need these three machloksim? What is the chiddush of each one? Just say one. Maybe Shivrei Kalim, that would be the only one. Why do you have to say all three? Vitzricha. I need all three. The Iyashmina Kamaisa. If I only had the first one about the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, about Shivrei Kalim. So the Bahikam or Rabbi Yehuda. There I would have thought that Rabbi Yehuda said it's Asr. That's Nolad. Why? Bishop de Beikara Kli Vashta Shever Kli. Vavale Nolad Vasr. That's really Nolad. Because you had a Kli, and now you have a broken Kli. That's no one. Something's new. Aval tamarim to meikar garida v'hashta garida neva shaper dummy. What are seeds? The seeds were there. The seeds were there since it was created. The seeds were there for the past year. What, that nolad? So it was covered. It's a big deal. It was there. It was inside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew it was there. You knew it was there. You just couldn't see it. That's nolad. That's the chiddush of case number two. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda says even that is nolad. V'yeshmina garinin, and if you only had tates two, still, I wouldn't have known case three. Hava mina de meikar b'chasid v'hashem megalion. I would have thought, find the seeds, the pits. Those are nolad because you couldn't see that before. That was inside, so that's okay. Nolad. Aval klipei agozim, but the shells of the nuts. to be ikar miglu hashta miglu, that you're looking at, you're staring at, that's nolad when you take off the shells. Ema shaper dummies, I would have thought that's mutter. Tzricha. So the chiddush is of case three, that even that case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is nolad, because beforehand it was protecting the nut, it served a purpose, it had a purpose, and therefore it was not muksa. The second that it comes off, now it's a shell. Now it's not a protective layer of a nut, it's a shell. A shell has no use, and therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, that is nolad. Okay, that's why we need all three cases about nolad. Again, nolad is something that comes up very halacha l'maisa, different things that happen on yontif, whether something is nolad or not, the whole issue of making ice cubes on Shabbos, and that's one of the issues in making ice cubes. Fine. So that is machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about nolad, three versions of the machlokas. Says the Gemara, v'hadda Rav. Rav said this whole discussion started off with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. So says the Gemara, Rav, who quotes this shita of Rabbi Yehuda that is so mechudish that nolad is in even all these three cases, Rav never said that explicitly. Lav beferish itmar. Rav never said this is what Rabbi Yehuda says. Ella michlala itmar dura michlala itmar. I know it from an inference how Rav behaved in a story. Rav achaltimri b'shad kashiyasa lebuchya. Rav ate the dates and then he threw the seeds into the buchya. Rashi says the buchya is a type of oven. So Rabbi Chia bar pachzi. Rabbi Chia says bar pachzi. We've had that lashon a couple of times. Bar pachzi, Rashi says, is ben gdolim. Right, you son of a great one. Knegdo b'yantiv aser. Hey Rav, you're throwing seeds into the fire. You know what? If you did that on yantiv, he did that on weekday. So Rabbi Chia says to him, you know what? If you did that on yantiv, it'd be aser. In other words, saying like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So the question is, Kibla Mine or Lo Kibla Mine? Did Rav accept that statement of Rav Chia? Rav threw it into the fire. Rav Chia says, hey Rav, you can't do that on Yantif. You can do it today, but not on Yantif. So Rav didn't answer. So did Rav accept it or not? So we have to go to another story. Tashvad Chiyasa Rav LaBavel. When Rav came to Bavel, Achal Timri, he ate dates, B'shata Kashiyasa L'Chiyusa. And he threw the seeds into the chiyusa, into a fire. So my love, but parsiyasa, aren't we talking about parsiyasa? Parsiyasa, Rashi here explains, means nice, ripe, good dates, which are somewhat separated from their inner pit after when they are ripe. They're not totally connected, where you would say like the pit has some of the food on it. It's like kind of, I don't know if it's loose like a nut, but it's semi-detached inside. So aren't those the type of pits that we're talking about? And therefore that story relates to our discussion, because that's a type of pit that would be nolad, because it was on the outside first. When you have it in your hand, it has no usage, it has no food connected to it. So when Rav threw it into the fire, so if he throws it in, that means he holds it's not muksa. So it must be he didn't accept Reb Chiya's claim, because Reb Chiya had told him in the previous story, hey, you can't do that on Yantif. But here we have a story that he did do it on Yantif, he threw it in. So it must be, he must not think it's nolad. So Gemara answers, one second, my lad b'parsiyasa, b'parsiyasa v'lo kibla, and he didn't accept Reb Chiya's statement. So lo, b'armiyasa, ho v'chazi agav imayu. No, we're talking about other types of dates which don't ripen fully, and there is always some dates, some good part of the date connected to the inner pit. So therefore you never have just a pit that's muksa, because there's always some stuff that you could suck out, some juice that you could suck out of it. So therefore this story has no connection, you can't be medayik anything from the story. And really, in Achinami, it could be, we assume, that Rav did accept Reb Chiya's statement, and therefore, that's how we got this whole discussion of Rav's Shita, interpreting Rabbi Yehuda, of Ein Masikin B'Shivrei Kalim. Yeah.
It doesn't say fire, it says
animals here. Chiyusa, animals. Okay, either one, doesn't matter. Right, the first one was oven, and the second one, Chiyusa, was animals. Either way, doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference for our purposes. Okay. So Amar Leir of Shmuel Bar Chana. So next four line statement related, and then we're going to get to approach number three in the Mishnah. So Amar Leir of Shmuel Bar Chana, Lerav Yosef, Lerav Yehuda, Amar Masikin Bekelim, Masikin Beshivrei Kelim. According to Rav Yehuda, who says you can't use Shivrei Kelim, Kivon the Avik Behu Purta Habi Le Shivrei Kelim, V'Chika Mahapich B'Yisur Kamahapich. Oh, important question. Says the Gemara, one second. So let's say we're talking about a big kli, right? He says you can't use shivrei kalim. So let's say you put in, like Seth asked before, so you put this kli into the fire. Eventually, this is going to turn into a shever kli at some point. But again, you're not, you put it in the fire, but as long as your hand isn't there, it's okay. But what's going to happen? What happens on fire on Yom Tov? You stoke the coals, you move stuff around. So says the Gemara, aren't you going to be moving muksa? eventually. You put the Rebbe said you're allowed to be masik v'kelim, but you put this inside the fire. Eventually, it's going to become a shever kli at some point, and you're busy stoking the fire on Yontif. So the Gemara says v'chikam ahabich v'isurakam ahabich. Aren't you moving the muksa? So isn't that a problem? So just an important ha'ara on the question, the Rashba here says, ha'raya from this Gemara, that muksa on Shabbos is not asr b'hana'a. It's only asr to move. You're allowed to get hanoah from muksa on Shabbos, right? If I'm walking, and I go into my living room and I have a sefer in my hand, I can put it on top of the stereo if I need a place to put it. It's an iser to move muksa. I could take my finger to a car and go like that, right? I did it. I touched it, right? Because the iser of muksa is tiltal muksa, right? Not getting hanoah from muksa, right? Because what does the Gemara say? Hey, you're going to have this muksa, this nolad in your fire, and you're going to be stoking it. Why does it say, you're going to cook your food on it? There's no problem with cooking your food on it. There's no isser, says the Rashba Beferish. There's no isser of using muksa. There's no isser hanoah of muksa. The isser of muksa, which is an isser drabanan, a chamer isser drabanan, but it says, v'kal nirli de'ein asr lehanos min muksa. De'lo kasha le'el hechi mahapeklu, klo rasa le'taltel. So that's the important line of the Rashba. This is what we hold. But the Rashba says, this is what one of the rayas from our Gemara. So the Gemara says, so how could you do it? How could you use even a kli?
Why shouldn't you be allowed to use the kli? The very nature of stoking a fire or adding things to a fire, which you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, means you're going to be changing whatever you're going to be putting in
there. I'm saying, but if what you put in there originally was not muksa, it was firewood, and it's still firewood, that's fine. But if you started off using a kli, and now you're using a shever kli, that's no lot. If something was always meant to be firewood, and it's still firewood as it becomes smaller, that's not a problem. But if it started off as a kli, the problem is according to Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't use a shever kli, that eventually the kli that you put in is going to turn into a shever kli, and then you're going to be moving the muksa. So that's the problem. Yeah.
Moving the muksa, or the fact that you create
a nolad? Well, it might create. Well, it says kivan da azlekei purpa harvi le shivrei kalim. It sounds like once it's lit, and for a second, it becomes a shever kli by itself, and the next step is a problem. V'chika mahapich misur kamahapich.
But you're using a stick, so that's still muksa.
Even so, even if you use a stick, if it's a direct, that's not called tiltum minatsan. Tiltum minatsan if you use your elbow, but if you use something that's directly touching, I don't know if that would be called tiltum minatsan. So Gemara answers, an important answer, davaka de Rav Masna. Don't worry. What about, we go like Rav Masna. Damar Rav Masna, Marav, Eitzim shenashru minadekal latan rabiyantav, marba eitzim uchanim umasikan. Rav Masna Amarav says, let's say you have a tree, this is according to the first parak in Beitza as well. That's where the action is also. If you have a tree that's on top of your oven, remember ovens weren't like we have today, inside our house, inside our kitchen, they had ovens in outside. So let's say you have a tree over outside and over your oven, and then a branch falls down from the tree into your oven. Beautiful. Great shot. So what does Rav Masna say? Now all of a sudden you have no light in your oven. So what do you do? Says Rav, marba eitzim uchanim masikan. Throw on ready-made wood. Throw on logs that you had before Yontif. So therefore you will be, what's the pashas of the Gemara? Even though the Rashba says it's different. Most Rishonim say, what? Bittul, we have a principle called nullification. Bittul. So therefore, says Rav Masna, you could be mevatel the nolad, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem to use. Just like we have a concept of a bintel called shishim, right? If you have one milchik spoon in a humongous vat of fleishiks, let's say you have a type, we have a concept of a bintel all over the place. Truma can be mevatel and chulin, and this can be treif and milchiks and fleishiks. We have a concept called bintel nullification. One in 60, one in half, bintel barov. So therefore, just like we have that concept elsewhere, so says Rav Masna, also by the wood, if you have a drop of nolad in this oven. So therefore, throw in a lot of wood. Therefore, it's mevutal. Therefore, there's no problems. When you move it, you're not moving nolad. So that is what that's the pashas of the Gemara. Again, the Rashba has a different shot. We're not talking about bittul. Rav Rishonim, though, here and in Beitza said we're talking about bittul. What's the kasha?
Yeah, we don't say that if you have a piece of trash, you can go put a bunch of kosher stuff.
Exactly. We have a principle called ein mevatlin iser lachachila. We have a principle, fine, bittul works with the eved. But you're allowed to take, I want to eat this frank that's not kosher, but I know that it's not kosher. So what am I going to do? I'm going to make 100 kosher franks. I'm going to throw this frank in there. It's all going to be mixed up. I don't know which one is not kosher. It's mavuta. What can I do? I guess I'll be able to eat all of them. Right? So that's, we don't, in Mavatlan is l'chadchila. So the Gemara in Beitza itself asks that. It's a little tzarach Ian, why doesn't it ask it here? But the Gemara in Beitza says, Mavatlan is l'chadchila by Durabanans. Only by Isur D'Oraisa you can't be Mevatel Lissan L'Chadchila. But by Isur D'Rabbanan, you're allowed to be Mevatel Lissan L'Chadchila. That's what the Gemara says. And Muksa is Nisa D'Rabbanan. Nolan is Nisa D'Rabbanan. That's what the Gemara says. The Rishonim there have about five or six extra limits. You can only do it if it's getting destroyed, and if you can only do it, and the Shurim Sinai Malacha quote all the Rishonim in Beitza. Again, that's where most of the Rishonim are. It's very limited when that should apply, but again, Meikra, that's what the Gemara says. The Chilek is between Daraisa and Rabbanan. There is a discussion, though, what's the source for this Halacha? Abim Mevat L'Nisa L'Chadchila. That's, Lachar, what we hold. Rov Rishonim hold this Nisa D'Rabbanan. Rov Rishonim. There's a Ravid in the Isser Mashahu. This Mashu is the Ravid's, it's a little, a couple of pages at the back of Torah Sabayas. Torah Sabayas is the Rashba Sefer on Yerodea. A lot of the Yerodea. So the back of that is, most of the time, is printed the Ravid's Isser Mashu. Because I've heard of like the Ravid of the Isser Mashu. What's the Isser Mashu? But the Isser Mashu is it's a couple of pages of the Ravid. In there, the Ravid holds that Im Vatlis Lachachilas Isser Daraisa. At least sometimes. The question is, what's the source for that? So there's a fascinating Rabbi Yosef Engel in one of his Svarim in Beis HaOtzar in Klal Tzadik Aleph. He says two things. He says a svara, and then he says al pi kabbalah. He says, number one, it's a svara. He says, if you have a iser, then, and if you're allowed to be mevatel lissan l'chadchila, then what's the point of the iser? Then the iser, inherent in every iser, must be in mevatel lissan l'chadchila. It's just mi svara. Im kein hachanan bi isuri Torah, shaper nitan lehe amer, tihi isurim atzma morim al iser bitumam. Tihim lo kein haria kol yivalo isurim. Then nothing's going to happen. Then the Isser is not going to last. So it has to be that part and parcel of every Isser is that you can't be Mevatel Isser. So that's what he suggests. It's a Svara. And then he says, Alpi Kabbalah. He quotes, Alpi Mashgad of HaMekubalim. He says, De Inyan Isser Veheter Ma'acholos, whom he pass. What does it mean if something's mutter to eat and asr to eat? He says that there are Shahamutarim, Hanakudas, Hakadusha Shevahem, Roy Va'omi Lahalos, Idea Achilas Adam. Every food in the world can be nis'ala and uplifted, it's the kudas hakadusha, can be uplifted by a person's eating it. So a dvar heter is ready right now, it's the kudas hakadusha are ready to be uplifted, but the trefus food, so it's the kudas hakadusha, aren't ready to be uplifted until HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ma'arech, it sets the stage that bittul takes place. But says Rabbi Yosef Engel, if you jump the gun, if you are mevatel it earlier, then I'll pick Kabbalah, then these Nekudas HaKadosh aren't ready to be Nisala yet. So therefore I'll pick Kabbalah, he says, that's how this halach is explained. But either way, this is a huge sugya. Again, we don't have time to spend so much time on it, but just to know, most hold this Nisad Rabbanan, the Rabbi holds this Nisad Daraisa, and there are many, even though the Gemara in Beitza is mechalik between Isuri Daraisa and Isuri Drabbanan, that Isuri Drabbanan is mutzer be mevatel l'chadchila. But there are differences, that there are many limits. Some say it's only a drabanan that has no connection to anything written in the Torah. Like, let's say, milchik and fleishik, and you mix chicken. That's an isur drabanan. Right? Chicken and milk is an isur drabanan. That's ikar min haTorah, though, because you have a concept of milchik and fleishik to be daraisa. Muksa is ein la'ika min haTorah. Right? There's no real connection, there's nothing in muksa that's in the Torah. It's not patterned after a daraisa. So that's what the context of that, this is muksa. That's the context of the Gemara Beitza. So somebody should have said it's only muksa. Nothing, no other Isurei Drabanan. And there are other limits as well. There is a major stira in the Shulchan Aruch, not for now, between Yerodea, where he paskins that you're allowed to be mevatel Isurei Drabanan, and in Hilchas Chanukah, he says you can't be mevatel the oil in the menorah. That's left over. Even though the oil in Chanukah is just a Rabbanan. There's a lot of literature, a lot of answers given. Fascinating stuff. Again, we don't have time now. But how do you answer the stira in the Shulchan Aruch between Hilchas Chanukah and Yerodea? Okay. In a chinami, that's another limit. Must be talking about a case, say some of the Rishonim, that you cannot discern anymore which one was the branch that fell in. In a chinami. If you can, then Bittul wouldn't apply. In a chinami. We must be talking about a case here where it's not discernible anymore. Now you can see it, but Marbe Isim Mavatlo said after you have thrown more in, now you can't discern which is which. Okay. Next, Rav Hamnuna Amar, 8 lines up. So Rav Hamnuna says, again, totally different pshat. This is giving a different pshat in the Machlokas in the Mishnah for the Tumah side of things. Remember I said on top, Rava on line 3 gave another pshat for the Hadlaka side of the Mishnah. Now we're giving another pshat to the Tumah side of the Mishnah. Rav Hamnuna Amar, Hacha B'pachas B'shlosha Shlosha Shkina. We're talking about a case where you have a Beged that's less than 3x3 Tvachim. Less than 3x3 Tvachim. And this Machlokas is a separate machlokas related to the following. Umikule matlonios shanukan. And it's a machlokas about shmatas. Right? Mukule matlonios, that means But Matzmanios are shmatas. Shmatas that are people are makel about, that they're not so chashuv. That's the machlokas. For us, Rabbi Lezer the Tamei, Rabbi Kiva the Tamei. And it's the same machlokas as the following. Tetznan, we have a Mishnah in Kalim that says, Pachas, Mishloch, Shloch, Shloch, if you have a little beged that's less than 3x3 tachim, that you got ready, Shehiskinu, you have fixed up, you have designated, Lefakik Boas Amerchats, to use as a bath stopper, Ulanar Boas Akadero, or to use to wipe out your pots, Ulakaneach Boas Arichayim, or to use to wipe down your mill, like your Kalim in the kitchen, Beimen Amuchan, Beinche, Eimen Amuchat Tamei, whether they are prepared or not. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. The Gemara is going to talk about it. Tamei Dibri Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds that even though they're shmatas, as long as you designated them for some use, even eino min hamuchan, we'll see what that means, still, it's still tamei. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no, the opposite. Beimen hamuchan beit shalom en hamuchan tahar. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's always tahar, because it's just a shmata. Rabbi Akiva Omer, he splits. If it's prepared, it's still Tameh. But if not, it's Tahar. So what do these words mean? Prepared, not prepared. So everybody agrees, if you threw this little shmata, less than 3x3 tfachim, in the garbage, then no, then everybody would agree. Even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it's no longer Makabel Tumah, because you have no use for it. You threw it in the garbage. That's one extreme. Next, everybody agrees if you put it in your closet with all, along with your other towels, then everybody agrees that it's tameh, because you're obviously going to use it. You put it away with the other towels. So, lo, what's this whole machlokas about, the Suri machlokas? Lo nechku ela, a middle case. Shetzla'o b'magod, o shenichol achorei adelos. You either hung it on a peg, on a hook, or you put it behind the door. So, what is that? Is that like throwing it in the garbage? Or is that like putting it into your closet? So that's the machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Eliezer says, hey, you didn't throw it in the garbage. You obviously want to use it. So therefore, it's still tameh, some kabbal tumah, if you hang it in these places. And that's what he means by saying it's tameh if it's muchan or shalom na muchan. What do you mean? It's not prepared. It means delagabe kufsala muchanu, because compared to being in the closet with the other towels, it's not as designated, but still it's designated enough. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer holds that as long as you didn't throw it in the garbage, it's still makabbal tumah. And that's Jesus Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. Right, Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah is the one that says Temeahi, right? Because Rabbi Eliezer holds that even if you have a little shmata, as long as you designate it for something, it's still makabel tumah. So that's Shitas Rabbi Eliezer and Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Rabbi Yeshua says the opposite. No, the only time that you real designation is if you put it in the closet with the other towels. If you throw it behind the door, hanging on a hook, that's like throwing it in the garbage. So that's why, even if you do that, it's tahar. Umay karile muchan. So why is that called muchan? So lagabe ashba muchanu. Because compared to throwing it in the garbage, it is somewhat muchan. But even this level of muchan, we're going to consider as if you threw it in the garbage, and therefore, it is no longer makabel tumah. That's Rabbi Yeshua Shita. Rabbi Yeshua is not in our Mishnah, but we're going to get to him in a minute. For Rabbi Akiva is machalek, bitzlo bebeged, sov mamagos, sov lak Rabbi Eliezer, beinichach haridel, sov lak Rabbi Yeshua. He says, if you hang it on a hook, okay, that's close to putting it in your closet. If you throw it behind the door, no, that's like throwing it in the garbage. He's machalek. But then we say, v'hadavei Rabbi Akiva lagabed Rabbi Yeshua, but we have a diuk that Rabbi Akiva then changed his mind and held like Rabbi Yeshua, who said that it's always tahar, meaning either of these kids are tahar, and that's Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah. Right? Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah said, taharahi, right, when you roll it up. So we're talking about this type of beged, and that's shitas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Akiva lishitaso. Mimai, how do we know that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind? Amar Rava, from the language of the Mishnah. Midiktani psilas habeged. Because the Mishnah says psilas habeged. The wick of a beged. My Arya, the tani psilas habeged. Let's see, psilas shel beged. If you have a wick which used to be a beged, you should say psilas shel beged. What do you mean psilas habeged? What's psilas the beged? The adayin beged, who's from a diet that it still is a beged. It still is a beged, and that is how we learn that Rabbi Akiva must have changed his mind, that even though you hang it on a hook, and even though you throw it behind the door, you hold like, he holds like Rabbi Yeshua, that it's as if you threw it in the garbage, and it loses its shame, beged right away, and that is the basis for the Shita of Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah. So again, we had the first way to explain the Machlokes, on the bottom of Chaf Chesim Abeis, that explained both Tuma and Halakha Machlokes. Then we had Rava on top of Chaf Chesim and Aleph, that explained the Halakha Machlokes another way. And now we have Reb Hamnuna, who explained the Tuma Machlokes another way. Okay, so now we get to the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Lo yikav adam shfarosh habeis shifoferish habeis avi melena shemen v'yitrena pioner b'shmil shetehem and atefes. Let's say somebody has a bowl with a wick and oil in it, right, on the table. Above that, you have an egg, and you made a hole in the bottom of the egg. You put oil in that egg, and it is you set it up so, like, over Shabbos, over time, the egg, the hole in the egg, will drip oil into the main candle area, and therefore that will give it more fuel in order for it to light longer. Says the Mishnah, you're not allowed to set up this contraption on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to set it up. We'll talk about why in the in a minute. Actually, let's talk about why now. So why aren't you allowed to do that? Because we're worried that what? That you might take away, you might like want to use the oil to use in the egg for another purpose. And, you know, it's not exactly in the candle, right? So we're worried that you're just going to see this egg, and therefore you're going to take it and use it. And therefore what? And therefore what's wrong with taking that oil? Two chances. Rashi here says, Chayiv, it's a somewhat unusual lashon. V'chivin shehikseyu l'ner, Chayiv mishum machabe. Since you have designated it for the candle, therefore you're Chayiv for machabe. You're extinguishing, right? You're taking away fuel. If you look in the Pirush Mishnayos and the Rambam here, he also says machabe. But if you look in the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, and they point out the Stira, the Rambam says it's muksa. Huksa l'isuro. Muksa machmas iser. You're mechabe. It's not in yet. You're taking it before it drips in. So is that really mechabe? So some say it's a chiddush. Chiddush to say something that's called mechabe because it hasn't dripped. If you take it out from the bowl, that's mechabe. But this egg hasn't dripped in yet when you take it away. But Rashi still says chayim yishum mechabe. The Bnei Yeshua here, if you want to look, he tries to figure out what exactly Rashi's saying because Rashi quotes muksa and mechabe. The Rambam Stira, right? The Rambam Pirush Mishnayos quotes Mechabe, and then the Mishnah Torah quotes Muksa. Rashi here seems to quote both, so the Pnei Yeshua deals with it. Yeah.
Okay, first of all, isn't that a Rambam Xeron or a Durabanan? Muksa is Durabanan. You might come to Durabanan, isn't that a Xeron or a Xeron?
Right, so according to the Rambam, doesn't hold the both. The Rambam holds, in one place he says Muksa, and another place he says Mechabe. Rashi seems to say that, you think you shouldn't do this because you might come to move Muksa. Aha. Inochinami, but Muksa is a Chomer Durabanan. So it could be that one's a Gzera Durabanan, one's a Malacha Durabanan. We've been Bechalik.
On Shabbos, we had a case where if you had something, you might come to take out oil from
right.
The bowl.
Right.
What if there's enough oil, and we talked about this in the what if there's enough oil to go per Shabbos?
Right. So some say maybe that would be a difference. That if even after you take out the oil, it's going to burn throughout the rest of Shabbos, so it could be not going to be Chayiv Daraisa. Could be not going to be Chayiv Daraisa. Anyway, that's a discussion on the Rashi, and there's a rush that I guess maybe we'll mention tomorrow if we have time. There's a Russian Beitza that also discusses the relationship of this to Grumma. There's a concept called Gram Kibui, extinguishing in an indirect way. So isn't this indirect? Like if you have a fire, you're allowed to put cups of water around the fire, so when the fire gets there, the fire is going to go out, even though you're not allowed to pour the water on. Gram Kibui is mutter in certain circumstances. So isn't this Gram Kibui, asked the Russian Beitza? So there's a discussion of it. We don't really have time right now. Anyway, let's continue the Mishnah. So you're not allowed to make a hole in the bottom of an egg and set up this contraption. V'afilu hi shel cheres. Even if the top thing isn't an egg, but it's made out of cheres, earthenware, which becomes disgusting as it's used, filled up with oil. So really, there's no such a big shash that you're going to take it. Still, you're not allowed to set it up because you might take it. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda is Matir in these cases. But if a yotzer, if a craftsman, if an artisan fixed before Shabbos, made this into one kli, he was mechaberit, like he set up this contraption, but it's really one kli, it's not two separate things, then it's mutter, because then we're not worried a person's going to come take it out. There's no difference. The egg, even cheres, which is more disgusting, so you might not come to take it, still, we're choshesh, according to the Tanakhama, that you would come to take it. No, but it's not as disgusting, so you might want to use the oil for something. But the cheres, you might not want to touch it. Similar case. You can't have a bowl next to the candle, and you have the wick with a wick in one bowl, but the wick is very long that it goes into the other bowl as well, and it's shoeiv, and it draws oil from bowl number two into bowl number one over Shabbos. You also can't do that, because again, you might come to remove the second bowl. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, again, Rabbi Yehuda is Matir. Vitzricha, and we need both of these cases, the case of the egg, the case of the cheres, and the case of the bowl next to each other. If I only had the whole, the egg, egg with the hole. But Hakami Rabbanan, I would have only thought there the rabbis are worried that you might come take it. Because it's not, the egg doesn't become disgusting, so therefore you really might take some oil out of it. But in the case of cheres, maybe the Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Yehuda because they're not choshesh. Maybe only a case two. But Hakami Rabbi Yehuda, maybe only over there Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter. Because there's a real reason that why we're not worried. But in case number one of the egg, maybe he would agree. So therefore, we need the case of the egg and the case of the cheres. What about case three? If I would have only had the first two, I would have only thought only there Rabbi Yehuda matirs mishum delomisak. There he allows it because there's no hefsik in the in between. You have the egg thing right on top of the other thing. So you're going to look at it, you're going to see one is going into the other one. So really there, Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't have to be worried. But here, in this case, Rabbi Yehuda says, you might hold, you see one bowl here, you see a separate bowl, it's not dripping in right into the second bowl. The two separate bowls. So there you might forget, that you might say, oh, it's two separate bowls, you might come to take. So maybe he would agree to the Rabbanan, so that's why you have to say case three. V'yeshmina v'ahi, what if you only had case three? So then v'ahi gamer Rabbanan, so maybe you would have thought only over there the Rabbanan are worried, because there it's two separate bowls, there they're worried that you might come to take from the second bowl. But in the first two cases, where one is on top of another, maybe I would assume that the Rabbanan aren't worried. People see, one is dripping into the other one. Kamash malan, tzricha, that is why you need all three cases. Fine. And if the yotzer before Shabbos made it all into one kli, then it is mutter. Tana, im chibra b'sidu b'charis is mutter. We have a brisa that says that if a person puts it together with lime or charis crushed brick, it's mutter. Meaning if Rashi says balabayas, if I'm not a professional, if I put it together, it's mutter. But vonan yotzer tznan, the Mishnah says yotzer, which is a craftsman, which is an expert. So do you need an expert to put it together? Or anybody? So my yotzer ke'ein yotzer. You know, it means anybody that does it in a professional way. But lav dafka, that you need an expert to do it. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Pamachasha Shavtenu Balias Beis Nitzah Balud. One time we were sitting in the attic of Beis Nitzah in Lud. The Hevi Lanush Mavarisha Beisa, when they brought us an egg. A shell of an egg, umilanu a shemen v'nikvanu v'nachnu apianer. So we did this. We set up the egg with a hole and the oil and the whole contraption, and we did it. Reb Tarfon was there with the zakenim, and he didn't tell us anything. So doesn't that prove it's mutter against our Mishnah? So amrlo misham raya shani bein nitzah. This reason, hey, no, Beis Nitzah were a city of talmidei chachamim. So therefore, that's why they did it. That gzeira didn't apply to a whole city of talmidei chachamim. They would have reminded each other not to take oil out from the upper bowl. Abin Sipora Garas Apsila Balisa the Shisha La Ela Mirbiasla Ben Elazar. Abin Sipora dragged a bench on a marble floor in front of Rabbi Yisrael Bar Elazar. So again, dragging a bench on a marble floor is 100% mutter. Right? The whole issue is dragging a bench on dirt, as we mentioned. That's the case of Rav Shimon Miskavin, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. But he did it on a marble floor. So Amalei Ishtuki Lecha Kiddushasiku Lechavi Rabbi Yehuda Navig Mimei Churva says Rabbi Yisrael Ben Elazar, if I keep quiet in front of what you're doing to me, then there could be major problems, because people might get confused. Like the previous story, he says, you know, people didn't say anything, and therefore there was almost a big mistake. People thought that we didn't pass like our Mishnah. But if so, I have to say something. Gzeira alisa de shisha, ato alisa de alma. I'm worried, because dragging a bench on a marble floor, I have to tell you, you know what? This gzeira here, because if you do this on a dirt floor, it's going to be usser. Therefore, you shouldn't even do it here. Rashi points out that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rav Shimon Miskavin is usser. That's why he's so worried about it. We pass on like Rav Shimon, that it's mutter anyway, unless it's a very hard bench and a very soft floor. Reish Kanish to the Batsra, Garas Afsila La'elam Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba, the head, the gabai of the shul of Batsra, dragged the bench in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba. Armalei Kaman, Rav Shimon. He held why? Like Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon says, that it's mud. It says Garas Afsila. It doesn't say it's a marble floor here. So he dragged it on a dirt floor. So he says, why? Because I pass it like Reb Shimon. Just one more minute. So Ema Darmer Reb Shimon Big Dolim Delo Efsha Big Tanami Amar. One second. Reb Shimon only says you're allowed by a huge bench where you don't have a choice. Did Reb Shimon say that it's mutter even if by Ktanim, where you have a small bench chair where you could carry it? In other words, does Reb Shimon say Darvish and Miskavit is mutter even if you have a choice? Does he go that far? So the first Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba says no, he doesn't. So upliga to ula, damar ula machlokas bektanim ava begdolim dibri akol mutter. And he argues with ula because ula says the machlokas is yes by where you have a choice. Rabbi Shimon Mathers, even where you have a choice. If you don't have a choice, even Rabbi Yehuda says it's usser. Says ula. So it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba and ula. Okay, I don't want to rush through the last four lines, but we'll stop here. But just to summarize, just remember what we these past two lines. So we always thought, which the Gemara is about to ask. Actually, let's just do the question of the Gemara, and then we'll answer it tomorrow. Mazav Rav Yosef, Rav Shimon, Omer Gara, Adam Mita Kisi Vesapsal, Ubavachli Iskabin Lasal Skrits, Ktani Gedolim Vaktani Tanim. We have a Mishnah in Beitza which says that the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon is in all cases. Dover Sheinim Iskabin. If I do a malacha, which might or might not happen, but not kavana is not to do the malacha. It's mutter according to Rav Shimon, even if I could find another way. It's also according to Rav Yehuda, even if I can't find another way. That's what the Mishnah says. So that Mishnah seems to be against Ula and Rav Yirmiyahu Rabba, because Rav Yirmiyahu Rabba says Rav Shimon doesn't allow it when there's another choice. And Ula says Rav Yehuda allows it even if there is another, as long as, if there is no other choice. So what do you mean? The Mishnah Beitza says, Rav Shimon says it's mutter across the board. Rav Yehuda says it's usher across the board. So that Mishnah seems to be against, that these Amoraim, Rav Yirmiyahu Rabba and Ula, seem to be against the Mishnah. How that's answered, Beit Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Today's shiur was Lezecha Nishmas David Tzvi, Ben Dov Mordechai.